welcome into the next edition of the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. I say next because we've had a brief history with our good friend Aldo Gandia over at the Bears Barroom, and he got us off and running. But now we're coming at you bigger and better than ever. We got a brand new team in place, and we are ready to roll. I am Mark Schanowski, the star of the show, the one and only Stacey King, and we've also got some friends. You're going to hear them throughout this podcast. This is going to be like a barroom atmosphere as well. We're going to have some fun. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to have a lot of laughs. Hey, in this environment, we all need to laugh just
Hello,
a little
friends.
Bit. Yeah, so this is more than just Stacey and I. I want to introduce our good friend, John Walsh, who we've known for years. He's going to be producing and editing this podcast. In fact, we don't need to edit anything, do we, John?
Nah, one take. We're a one take team.
One take, baby.
And our business maven, our marketing expert, Tim Kelly, who is graciously enough letting us use his facilities here at Nautilus Medical to help us out. And we're going to have a lot of
beer.
Fun there.
Part-time comedian is not funny.
Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, the beer's cool. My best friend, too. So.
Hey, Stacey, do you want to tell the folks what kind of day you've had?
Well, let me tell you right now, buddy, it's been one hell of a day. I've got a puppy right now who's 3 months old.
Who's with us.
And who's with us. Brixton is here right now. He's sitting there with our good friend Susan, who's nursing him right now. And he's got
not actually nursing him.
He's got a cone on.
But basically, she's babysitting him for him while we do the show. He just came back from the vet. He's got to have surgery on his leg. He got into a little scrap. And he held his own for a puppy, but the guy weighed 60 more pounds than him. And as soon as he turns and gets bigger, we're gonna do a little walk by on this dog. He's not gonna be able to live this one down. It's gonna be payback. We're gonna slide on this dog. Yes,
pay per view. Is that a pay per view deal?
It's not even on pay per view. It's gonna be straight Chicago style. We're gonna get you in the alley. They're gonna beat you down. That's what's gonna happen. Ain't that right, Brixton? Woo, woo! Way to go, Brixton.
Yeah, he looks really tough right now.
Hey, we don't talk about my dog like that, man. Okay? I have to bite you right in the nuts, okay? Jeez.
Hey, we want to thank all the people who have been loyal to us and have subscribed to the first 5 episodes of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. But as I mentioned, we're going to expand this thing. We're going to be going to YouTube in time, giving you a video element as well. So we want to thank you. And you probably already heard the story about Brixton, because I think, Stacey, you told that in the very first episode, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And just driving back to the city, it's been, whoo, man, it's been all day long. Dropped him off at 11. They tell me to go home for a few hours. They called me back at 3, said, can you get out of here by 5? And I said, you live in Chicago?
Yeah, I live 45
like,
miles
I live like 45, 50 minutes away in the suburbs, you know, and trying to get down there in traffic. You know, by the way, he has to be out by 5. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, aren't you a 24/7 veterinarian? You're going to put a 3-month puppy out on the street? Come on, really?
Cold. They're cold.
It's cold. It's a cold, cruel world.
Yeah. You know, and the dog doesn't know how to use crutches either.
Exactly.
So that'd be a problem.
He's got one of these little splints on his leg right now. Kind of looks like Captain Hook, and he's limping around. But he's a tough little guy, man. And he's going to have surgery probably in a couple days. Be out 4 to 5 weeks on IR, and he'll come back bigger and better and faster.
Now, these are real life problems. All the stuff we're going to talk about in terms of basketball and other things going on with Chicago sports teams pales in comparison with poor Brixton is going through right now.
Oh, it breaks my heart, man. Now, anybody who's a pet owner knows exactly, you know, how I feel. You can see Brixton right now. He's got one of those cones around his neck to prevent him from chewing on the little splint.
Right.
Okay? And the splint is about as big as his whole body. So it's hard for him to walk around. So he's getting a lot of TLC. Susan right now is giving him some TLC. The nurses loved him, hated him to go. He's a cute little guy. And he'll get some more TLC when he gets home.
Some raw meat, maybe, when he gets home.
Okay, see, there you go. See, I give you this little secret of prolonging your animal's life, and you use it against me, okay? All right, we'll get to that dog. We'll save that for later.
Okay, that's a tip of the day.
That's
later.
One of our friends, people.
You know, I've been doing this.
He might not be a friend at the end of this show.
You know, I've been doing this
You're
for a long
put
time.
You're not going to put a cone on me, are you?
You should.
We might have to do that.
Yes.
Or a muzzle, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
This is one of the toughest transitions I've ever had to make. You know, we're talking about a dog getting injured, and now we're going to talk about such mundane things as basketball.
But yes.
I know Bulls fans really loved watching the Last Dance documentary on ESPN and had a lot of fun with that. But Scottie Pippen was not among the people who enjoyed it. And there were times in there where Pip was maybe portrayed a little bit unfairly. They kind of focused on some of the things that were not highlights in his career, the 1.8 seconds, the migraine headache. And Pip finally made some comments in terms of a podcast he did recently talking about the fact that he didn't really think it was accurate in terms of really defining what was accomplished in one of the greatest eras of basketball, but also by two of the greatest players. And one could even put that aside and say the greatest team of all time. This is Scottie, actually, his quotes from the podcast saying, "I didn't think those things stood out in the documentary. I thought it was more about Michael trying to uplift himself and to be glorified. I think it also backfired to some degree and that people got a chance to see what kind of personality Michael had." And then he was asked, "Have you spoken to him about your opinion of the series?" And Scottie says, "Yeah, I told him I wasn't too pleased with it. He accepted it. He said, hey, you're right." And that was pretty much it. You know, Stacy, you've known Scottie forever, and you've played with him for a number of years. Is this sour grapes, or what do you make of this?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Scottie's a Hall of Famer. He's a top 50 player of all time. He's expressing what everybody else thought. I mean, I thought the same thing. My take on the Last Dance was, what did the migraine headache have to do with the final three championships? What did the 1.8 second of him not going into the game have to do with them winning three championships? And I can see his point, because it did, you know, put him in a negative light. Like, he was all about Scottie. And anybody who's played with Scottie will tell you from you know, 1 through 30 that's played with him, he's the best teammate that I've ever played with. He's the best teammate anybody who would play with. If you took a poll, I guarantee you 99.5% of the guys would say Scottie's the best teammate they've ever played with.
Well, Michael had the final say in this documentary. He had, you know, executive producer credit. He was able to veto anything that he didn't like. So obviously, he was going to come off looking pretty good. Now, Scottie just referenced the fact that people got a chance to see what Michael was all about. You know, his win-at-all-cost mentality and how tough he was with his teammates. And I think that for Pip to say that, it carries a lot more weight than if it would have been some media person saying that you know, that Michael was maybe a little bit too harsh in this thing.
Well, it carries more weight even if a player like Scott Burrell would have said something.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
Scott Williams or myself. You know, Scottie Pippen being one of the greatest players, you know, of all time, and then being, you know, a Hall of Famer, it carries a lot of weight because he was, you know, Robin to the Batman. And for him to say that, you know, he didn't like the way he was portrayed or how everything was portrayed in there, that says a lot there. Because, again, you know, what does Scottie have to be sour grapes about? I mean, you know, he was a phenomenal player. You know, he was, you know, if you look at this, Mark, and I was talking about this the other day. You know, when people say, you know, Michael didn't need Scottie. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I don't think Michael Jordan wins a championship without Scottie Pippen. But I will say this. Scottie came pretty damn close of winning one without MJ.
That's true.
If it wouldn't have been Hugh Hollins,
right,
phantom call in New York, he could have easily probably had an opportunity to play for the championship, and who knows what would have happened. And that was without MJ. So that's a serious argument when you talk to people. Like, oh, no, you know, Scottie needed MJ. Not necessarily. But it worked out for both of them, and they won. But Scottie has no sour grapes. Scottie's a guy that has no filter. No filter at all. He doesn't care what you think or what he says. He says what's on his mind. You know, he's got that Southern mentality. You know, he just speaks what comes naturally to him. And sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. And
it's
the
refreshing.
Teammates respect it. So that's what you say, Fran?
I said it's absolutely refreshing.
Yeah, it is.
To get some honesty.
Yeah. You don't get that. Everybody's politically correct. You know, everybody doesn't want to ruffle feathers. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to say things that make people uncomfortable. And that, you know, Michael, to, you know, everybody knows Michael's the greatest player, okay? But you'll have people in Bill Russell's era, Wilt Chamberlain's era, you know, Oscar Robertson's era would give you an argument, Jerry West, they would say they were the greatest players, okay? Michael, I felt in this documentary, you know, it was an opportunity to reintroduce himself as a player. Because this generation, a lot of this generation do not remember Michael as a player. They hear their fathers, grandfathers, you know, talk about him. But a lot of this generation, these kids only recognize MJ as the guy who sells shoes. Oh, he's the guy at the Jordan. Yeah, I know him. But they really actually never got a chance to see him play. So this was, you know, this was his chance to reintroduce himself as a great player. So now all this generation is looking at him now going, holy shit, this guy is really a great player. He's better than Kobe, or he's better than, you know, LeBron. And also, if you know anything about the competitive nature of MJ, look at when that was released. Okay, you can say, oh, it was released because of COVID and there was nothing else to watch. Michael was going to release that during the finals.
On the verge of a championship for LeBron?
For LeBron, yeah. So it was calculated when it was going to be released. That footage was sitting there for 25, 30 years. It could have been released a long time ago. But as LeBron is starting to approach that GOAT talk, that GOAT level, MJ is like, oh, let's taper that back a little bit. You want to talk about the GOAT? Well, look at this. And it worked.
And how big about time. LeBron in a recent podcast saying that he won the two hardest NBA championships ever, coming back from 3-1 in 2016 to beat the Warriors. And
that was impressive.
In the bubble. And, no, I'm not, Kyrie I'm Irving, not downplaying no. that, but the point is that of all the NBA championships won ever, those are the two that stand out.
I mean,
this guy's ego knows no bounds.
Yeah, I would say, listen, that was impressive, 3-1. I'm not going to lie, against a great team. But, you know, I think Draymond Green, the situation with
right.
him, had Draymond Green not been ejected, that could have been a whole different series. But at the same time, you know, I understand where these kids get that from. You know, they want, everybody's concerned about their legacy, okay? So LeBron, you have to expect that. LeBron, and don't think that LeBron's not doing a documentary right now about himself. A lot of these guys are doing it now because of what MJ did. So don't be surprised in a few years, you know, you don't see a documentary about, you know, LeBron James.
Driving around his million-dollar Porsche.
I saw that. On the highway.
It's a nice ride.
Yeah, that's a documentary.
I thought it was Batman for real. I'm like,
it looked
like
Batman?
I'm like, oh, it's LeBron. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, he is Batman.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, like, you know, LeBron is great. There's no denying his talent and what he's meant to the game in this generation, okay? He's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of great players. I mean, but there's a lot of heads that could be on there. You know, you start off, you know, MJ is going to be on there. We all know that.
Give us your five.
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, I would say Wilt Chamberlain.
There's only four in the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, four.
No, okay, well.
Oh, see, that's why he's
are
the friend.
Are you going to build an addition?
That's why he's the friend. He's going to add a hand on Mount Rushmore.
It's always five.
Way to call him out, Mark.
For a lifelong producer, you think math would be a basic skill, right?
There's no math required here.
I have
my shoes on.
Oh, okay, no, we'll go five because it's basketball.
Cost a lot of money to build that extra head. All right,
we'll throw the head on there. There's enough mountain up there to put another head. So I would say you start off, you know, MJ, of course, and I'm being biased, but MJ would be up there. I think Wilt Chamberlain would have to be up there.
I think
Jerry West could be up there. I mean, Larry Bird could be up there. There's so many. There's at least eight guys.
That's a lot of.
That could be up there. I know, but we only take five.
That's why we're going five.
That's only you can take five.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kareem could be there. Magic could be there. It's just a preference, what they meant to you individually. Like,
what are your five,
Mark?
The five on Mount Rushmore.
I know, Kareem. I know, Kareem.
Kareem, Wilt, Michael. If we're going five, Magic and LeBron.
You can't leave out Oscar, though.
You Who's your five? Timothy?
Well, sometimes you got to look at it. If you're going to build your team, who would you pick?
Well, that's a different equation there.
Well, I'd say still, if I'm looking at my mantle, that's the way I'm looking at it.
That's a different show. A different
Come on now. We're running out of time here.
We're talking about the best
Do it.
Five hands on the mountain, son.
Yeah.
All right.
You're a friend. You're supposed to know this kind of stuff. You're my friend. Come on. You're a basketball guy.
I am. So, yeah, I'm going with Wilt and Michael, of course. Oscar. And then I'm going to go with Bob Cousy. Just because.
Wow.
Way back. Cousy.
I'm kidding. I just wanted to throw
I was
getting
ready to say, Bob Cousy's not even on the ground level. He's not even in the visitors.
He's in the short shorts. Rushmore.
Real Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
He would be on the short shorts.
Bob Cousy. Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to see if there was going to be some head nods there. But there wasn't. So that was good to see. I wanted to make sure you're a real basketball guy.
Come on, man.
So you're going to ask me or no?
Yes.
Well, you brought it up.
Well, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to give you right away. Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. How many is that, Mark?
That's four. Construction going up from 10 to 5.
I'm going Wilt, man. 100 points, 50 point average, 50. I'm going Wilt.
And he excelled off the court as well.
Well, he did in Dance Fever. He excelled in Dance Fever.
Boy, if they would have had the ball on that mercy.
Don't forget Conan.
Oh, yeah, he was in Conan. He was that big, Amazon? What was he?
Make Schwarzenegger look small.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's tough to do.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. Well, yeah, I knew you were going to pick Boston. I knew you were going to pick a Boston guy later.
I watched Larry Bird. He led the league in floor burns, man. And he was triple-double threat every night. Championship. Now, it's Larry Bird's on that mountain, whether it's four or five.
Did anybody say Bill Russell?
You know, that's the thing that a lot of people leave Bill Russell out, the greatest winner of all time with 11 rings.
Kareem's out. Bill's in.
Wow.
Celtic pride.
Yeah. See, you have to, in my opinion, his name has to be in the conversation.
No question.
I mean, you win as many rings as he did, and it wasn't like he was a guy that was in the back, you know, as a role player. He was the man in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was during a time where it was tough being African American playing in the city of Boston and all the negativity and the distractions that he had to play with. Man, amazing player.
I think a lot of people downgrade his accomplishments only because of the fact there were so few teams in the league back then, and you only had to win a couple of rounds to win a championship. He played with a lot of Hall of Famers, but when you consider the numbers that he and Wilt put up, I mean, Wilt was averaging, you know, 1 year he averaged 50 points a game and 20-some rebounds. I mean, those guys would routinely grab 20 boards a night. Now, if you had a guy that did that in the league, people would go, this guy's a freak. I mean, how can that happen?
And then also looking at Wilt leading the league in assists as a seven-footer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when was the last time we'll never see that again.
No.
You know, the numbers that he put up.
They don't get the ball. The ball's not in their hands.
Plus, there is no dominant centers like Shaq anymore. Everybody's a three-point shooter now. So, the game has completely changed, and you will never see a big man like that lead the league in assists again.
Speaking of the game changing, the one thing that's really happened now in the last 5 to 10 years, this is the era of player empowerment, where the top superstars in the league kind of dictate where they're going to go. They want to team up with their buddies and make sure that they have the best chance to win a championship. As we tape this show, this podcast on Wednesday.
And wear a retro uniform.
The latest news is Giannis Antetokounmpo talked to reporters in Milwaukee for the first time since reporting the training camp, and he kind of laid the breadcrumbs out that he may be headed to free agency. He was asked about, what do you think about the Supermax extension? He goes, well, you know, I'm focused only on basketball. That's up to my agent and the Bucks organization. Well, Stacey, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's been offered 5 years, $228 million. You either sign it or you don't. There's no negotiating going on there. He's been offered every dollar. No,
and he got a pen, too.
And then on top of that, you're not going to go anywhere you go, you're not going to get that much money. So it's a no-brainer. You know, now what you're doing and what he's doing is posturing, trying to put the onus on Milwaukee's organization to build around him, go get better players. You know, unfortunately, they're a small market team. And if you're paying him all the money and you're paying like two or three Middleton – and you're paying, you know, Drew Holiday, you don't have a lot of money to spend on the others, and you get capped out. So, you know, they have to build their team through the draft. And unfortunately, you know, they've had some nice draft picks, but, you know, they're still developing. You know, DiVincenzo and Pat Connaughton, and you know, those guys are good pieces, but they still got to develop. And in order to do that, they got to play, and they got to, you know, play together more. But you can't keep – you know, you can't keep saying, well, I want to be here, but I don't want to be here. You know, oh, I'm going to test free agency. If you're the Bucks, you're putting pressure on me now, because I'm like, we're not going to lose you for nothing. So if you're going to be here, we need to know. You know, we will do a signing trade. We'll get, you know, another superstar back to help us, because too many teams get burned like that.
Yeah. How about all his teammates wrapping up pens and giving them to him for his birthday, saying, sign that Supermax? He didn't think it was that funny. He said he thought the first couple, he didn't know what they were doing. Then he thought it was funny, and then he said after a while, it got kind of old. So he's already showing strain in his first media.
It sounds like Mark is hopping back to the days of Kareem and when Kareem left Milwaukee. I know we've heard that story many times.
I was an impressionable youngster.
Yeah. I know, and I know. And you think this is like Kareem too?
Well, it might be.
I don't know. I think Giannis is going to sign.
You almost never get equal value. That's like with the James Harden situation, where he wants to be traded. His first choice would be the Brooklyn Nets, team up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He's also said, oh, I'll go to Philly, play with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But Houston is saying, we don't want to let you go. You know, you've got 3 more years left on your contract. You should play it out. What's your take on that, Stace?
I'm taking a hard line stance. You sign a contract. I mean, you liken it to The Last Dance with Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen signed a contract that was undervalued. You know, made him, you know, like the 12th highest paid player on the team. he didn't get market value. But then again, when you watch The Last Dance, Jerry Reinsdorf told him not to sign a contract.
Right.
And told his agent not to sign a contract. So, you know, you have to blame the player then. You know, but if you're the organization, if I got James Harden for 4 more years, unless the trade knocks my socks off, he's going to stay here for 4 more years. I can't trade you to where you want to go because there's nobody on Brooklyn that we want. We're not getting a superstar player. And you can say, well, let's just wait till the draft. We'll take all these draft picks. You're not guaranteed in the draft that there's going to be a superstar player in the draft coming. So you're giving a generational talent away for just future picks.
Mm-hmm.
Not a smart idea.
And that's what Sam Presti's trying to do in Oklahoma City. He's got like 17 picks over the next 7 years. He may not get one all-star, let alone a superstar with all those
picks. What he's doing, Mark, is he's stockpiling these picks to make moves later.
Right.
And using those picks to position to go try to get a superstar that's already under contract that they don't have to pay, you know, astronomical money to. You know, you bring in a Chris Paul, you know, through a trade. You know, Chris Paul wanted to stay there. You know, but they felt like, you know, we're going a different direction. We'll do what we need to do. You know, so, but they're a small market team as well. If they couldn't keep Kevin Durant, Westbrook, Harden, and then Serge Ibaka, and they drafted all those players, they're not going to be able to keep anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever look at those pictures where those three guys are lined up? In the future, people will say, no way, were they on the same team together?
No, yeah, it's true. People won't even remember.
Yeah.
They won't even recognize the uniforms either. But
right.
Other than that,
yeah, that's true too.
I'm sorry.
There you go. With the
old school.
He's infatuation with these uniforms.
I do.
He hates the new retro look.
I do. I like
some of them are good. Some of them are, you know, a little bit too extreme.
Yeah.
They got to thank University of Oregon for these uniform things, man. They're the godfather of the uniform change. You know, me, we talked about this. John! Oh, Lord. I'm having technical difficulties. The king is down. My mic is on. Lord, help me. So we talked about this and being the fact that... You okay with it, buddy? John just comes from his side of the table. We already fixed the mic.
When the star of the show's in trouble.
Yeah, hey.
I was
star
going
goes
down.
Down.
Hey, I was going down. Hey. The microphone was going down. It's top heavy.
I was checking the grassy knoll.
Sniper in the building, baby.
President's down.
But, you know, I just lost track. Now, what are we talking about? We were all over the place.
Uniforms.
Uniforms.
Yeah.
So John is a big stickler of the you know, the classy look. Me
right.
too.
Yeah.
Like the Bulls, for instance. The Bulls black with the pinstripe is the best uniform in the game, in my opinion. Because it has all the colors. It pops. It stands out. I'm a big fan of when we used to wear black only in playoffs. Like we wore white shoes, you know, during the regular season. But when we went to the playoffs, we threw that
black
on
shoes,
with black socks.
Yeah.
And that meant to us
business.
That we were business.
Yeah.
And when people saw that, like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. That, we were already up 10 points when they saw that, you know. And now you see people wearing, you know, you have red uniforms, they're wearing green shoes. You know, fluorescent color shoes that look like they're battery operated. You know, go back to the traditional look. Whatever your team colors are, wear the shoes that your team color. Uniforms. There's some uniforms that are really cool, and there's some of them you're like, ooh.
Yeah, and I go back to my days as a – because I'm a card collector, and every now and then I'll go in the basement and I'll open up my tub, and I'll pull out some old, you know, basketball – because I have basketball cards. And when I see the colors and I recognize the colors and I identify, I know what team it is. And that's – those basketball cards are from the 60s and 70s.
That didn't sound weird at all.
You know what? Hey, Tim, I was thinking the same thing. That sounds a little creepy. He's going into the basement.
He's opening up his little tub,
and he's looking. I'm like, am I the only
one
reminiscing? John, that sounds creepy when he came out.
I thought,
little girl, you want some candy?
You
sit on Santa's lap. Oh, my God.
Here I am having a moment with my cards and my uniforms. And I'm identifying, and you guys think it's creepy.
No, it just kind of sounded creepy. Tim was thinking the same thing I was, so I'm like...
I was thinking the same thing, too, but I already got one shot in.
See, I
was
going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Even Susan, his wife, who's babysitting Brixton right now, she goes, yeah, honey, that was kind of creepy. Okay?
Did you put on a onesie?
What is it, the wrestling suit? What is that called? A sling? What is that?
Body thong.
The body thong? You know, body thong when you went down there? Lathered in oil?
glistening when I opened this tub.
I want to have that wet look. I look through my tub of uniforms.
All right, I'm going to go get another beer.
We told you, Bulls fan. We told you. It's going to be a wild ride on this show.
Yeah, John decided he was going to go on the mic. I think he may be regretting that right now. Hasn't really worked out the way he drew that up on the game plan.
No,
the
it didn't. It's surprise, surprise.
Hey, let's try to get this thing back on the tracks. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about this last week when I saw the James Harden situation, you talked about player empowerment, but it's almost gotten out of control. You see where Kawhi Leonard forced his way out of San Antonio, basically when AWOL was training on his own in New York. Jimmy Butler's situation in Minnesota where he said, I don't want to be here anymore. You got to get me out of here. You saw Paul George after he signed an extension in Oklahoma City. I want to go and join forces with Kawhi in Southern California. And then, of course, the Anthony Davis situation where he said, I want to be traded, but I only want to be traded to the Lakers. I mean, this is really getting out of control, Stacey. And I think that when you think about competitive balance, the survival of small markets, this is a real crossroads thing for the league. They got to get a handle on this thing.
Well, you got to thank LeBron for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
the decision
started this. You know, the super team in Miami. You know, the teams, I believe, listen, if they've got to get control. You know, they've got to take the hard line stance. You sign the contract. You're going to play the contract out. If we can move you, we're not going to say we're moving where you want to go. It's what's going to help the team.
Yeah, they should trade Harden to Cleveland. See how they
Or trade him to a place. Listen, and I love James Harden. He's an exciting player to watch. But his style of play is not going to mesh well with anybody.
It doesn't work.
You know,
in the playoffs,
It doesn't work at all. And when you say you want to go to Brooklyn, now you've got three dominant ball handling players.
And him and Kyrie might kill each other.
Exactly. I mean, one of them might kidnap the other one so he won't come to the game.
You're not going to handle the ball tonight.
Can they play with two balls?
Well, exactly. So at the same time, the teams need to get that hard line approach. It's like, listen, we're going to move you when we want to move you.
Right.
You weren't complaining when you got this $200 million. You weren't complaining when you asked for $150, okay? We're paying you $30 million a year. So I'm sorry, and if you're one of these teams who are watching this, Mark, all you got to do is look as far as the Clippers, what happened there, okay? There was an implosion in the locker room. It's documented now. It's come out. Everything comes out in the wash when the season's over. There's a reason why Montrezl Harrell didn't stay in L.A. There's a reason why guys don't want to play in L.A. with the Clippers now is because of the special treatment that Kawhi and Paul George got. The players on the Clippers didn't have a problem with Kawhi. You got two-time finals MVP, okay? No problem with you. But Paul George hadn't won anything.
And then he takes a shot at Doc Rivers.
Yes, yes. And he hadn't won anything. And then he tells people, oh, I'm not playing good in the bubble because, you know, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You're a superstar player. You didn't hear LeBron go, hey, you know what? It doesn't feel like an NBA game in the bubble. He was there for business. And that's what separates the elite superstars. Because you go back and you say, okay, if we had a Supermax deals and all this, who are the there's superstars in this league and there's stars in this league, okay? And there's only a handful of superstars. It's not like 20 or 30.
Right.
Okay.
What are your four?
LeBron's one.
How about him on Rushmore? Six.
Yeah, LeBron. How about 10? I said the superstar level that I would consider superstars, and it's not taken away from any of the other players. They're all good. LeBron is number one superstar player. I would say Anthony Davis is a superstar player. As young as Luka is right now, I would put Luka as a superstar player. Even though he hasn't been in the league long enough, Luka is a superstar. He's
Kevin
got
Durant.
Charisma. Kevin Durant, I put on as a superstar level, a max player.
Steph?
I would put Steph Curry. I would have put Klay Thompson up there before he got hurt.
Giannis
is there. There's only like, I would probably
yeah,
say
about
honestly,
seven or eight.
About seven
Devin
or eight.
Booker is knocking on the door.
Yes, there's a bunch of people knocking on the door. There's a bunch of guys knocking on the door. You got Devin Booker. You got Dame Lillard, who shows up every night and makes big shots. The Denver duo, Jokic is right there too,
yeah.
And Murray is right there. Okay, so there's a Jimmy's right there knocking
Donovan
on
Mitchell.
That door.
Yeah,
yeah, Donovan Mitchell. It's Donovan Mitchell. You know, I mean, our guy Zach, he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah,
I hope this year that he's
you gotta
motivated.
Win. You got to win.
He's motivated by the naysayers. You saw the poll where he's like 55 or 56.
Yeah,
and
it's really
like,
low.
It's really low. I mean, he's, in my opinion, in the 30s, okay? And I hope this motivates him. You know, in order for him to get the respect that he deserves, one, you're right, John, he has to win. The team has to win, which I think they will under Billy Donovan. I have the utmost respect and confidence in Billy Donovan that the Bulls will be a playoff team this year, okay? So next thing for Zach is to be a two-way player. Because in his position, you have to be able to be a two-way player. You know, you can't just be one-dimensional. Get 25. Even James Harden has improved defensively over the last couple of years because he recognized that he was not getting MVP votes. Yeah. He recognized that he wasn't getting, you know, all-NBA votes because he wasn't a two-way player. And he used to be out there like a pass. He's just standing out there with his hands out there like a scarecrow, and guys would go by him. But now he's actually trying to play defense. He's getting steals, and so he's getting the recognition. And I think Zach is in that same category. If he wants that limelight, he wants to be considered a superstar, got to commit to both ends.
I agree with Stacy on the Bulls because they're young, and I think youth, and they've been together for a little bit, and they've got an excellent coach. They might surprise some teams because with a short start, 71 days, right, Mark, of an offseason, they may surprise some teams out of the gate.
Well, they haven't played a game in over 9 months, so these guys are anxious to go. All the teams that were left out of the Orlando bubble, these are the teams that have a lot to prove. You look at the Atlanta Hawks, some of the additions that they made. Charlotte improved their roster as well. So trying to get to the playoffs is going to be a bit of a chore for the Bulls this year, but I know that everything coming out of the Advocate Center right now is positive, as it normally is during training camp. And Stacey, one of the guys we've heard a lot about is the rookie, Patrick Williams, the 19-year-old, fourth pick in the draft. Billy Donovan has said he's really impressed by the kid's maturity, his versatility, he can defend multiple positions. And a lot of his teammates are saying, hey, this kid can play. The Bulls may have gotten really good value with that number four pick.
Well, and Mark, we said this on a previous show, is that a lot of people didn't get a chance to see Patrick Williams because of COVID. You know, he didn't get to the NCAA tournament where guys become stars, become household names. So he's an anomaly. No one knows who he is. But Billy Donovan knows who he is. You know, AK knows who he is. And at the same time, he was drafted as a need position. We didn't have any small forwards behind Otto Porter. Otto Porter played in 20-something games last year. He's played in, like, what, 30-something games out of 90?
Yeah, 29 out of 90.
Yeah, so he hasn't played a lot of games. So we were trotting Chris Dunn out there as small forward. You know, Shaq Harrison is your small forward. You know, Denzel Valentine playing small forwards. Some of the guys are guards. Yeah. Sato's a little bigger than all those guys because he's about 6'5", so you can swing him down there on some nights. But that's not his natural position.
Right.
So now the Bulls have not only a really good young talent, but a future guy that could be a big cornerstone for this team in the future.
The other guy getting good reviews from the Advocate Center is Kobe White. Basically, Billy Donovan told him, you're my starting point guard. I'm handing you the keys to the car. Run with it. And I think that's a good strategy for the Bulls to implement.
Well, if Jim Boylan would have done that last year, especially when the stretches that Kobe played in, you know, I thought he would explode. I thought he'd been on the all-rookie team. I thought he should have been on the all-rookie team last year anyway, because not too many players played better than him. Ja Morant was consistent all year. Zion missed half the season. Kobe was one of the most impressive rookies last year, and to not be on that first team all rookie team was you know, terrible. Not to make the rookie game was a slap in his face, and I hope that he's motivated, because sometimes, Mark, all you need is someone to believe in you. Mm-hmm. This game is all about confidence. It's great to have every player in this league has superior talent. They wouldn't be here if they didn't. But what separates certain guys from other guys? Why do certain guys excel and some guys don't? It's the confidence and the belief that someone believes in that person. They tell you, somebody walked out to you right now, Mark, and said, Mark, you're going to start for the Bulls. You're going to get 35 shots a night. Shoot anytime you want. Your confidence is going to be through the roof. You're not going to get pulled out every time you hear the horn sound. You're going to go out there hooping like you're playing one-on-one. You can take any shots you want. And sometimes, and then there's another guy that they say, like a Felicio, don't you dare shoot. I don't care if there's nobody in the gym. Don't shoot. So he has no confidence. He has a wide open jumper.
He's looking over.
And he's looking to pass the ball because his confidence is shot. And that's what some of these coaches that, you know, Billy Donovan is really good at that. Because if you watch what he did in Oklahoma City with some of the other players, the other guys, like Steven Adams, Steven Adams under Scott Brooks was just a ball mover and a screener. They never used him as an offensive threat. Billy Donovan made him a threat on the outside. He was out there shooting threes last year. Wasn't very good. I mean, Stevie Wonder probably did more. But the thought, the confidence that he was given from Billy Donovan in player development allowed him to see himself differently than what other people see him.
Yeah, I got to ask you about your first broadcast is coming up. Been away from it for a long time. Woo! Now you've got a preseason game coming up.
The Golden Pipes.
The Houston Rockets. How are the Golden Pipes? United Center. Where are they going to stick you and Adam Amin? I know that in a lot of these broadcast situations, they're getting everybody off court side. It's kind of like when you do the Wizards games where you're up in the second deck.
Yeah. You know, the good thing, though, the Bulls take care of us because there'll be no fans in the arena. So they've done a good job of, putting us where we're actually center court, basically. So we're like on the second level underneath, underneath Jerry Reinsdorf's suite.
So you're in the 200 level.
Yeah, I'm in the 200 level.
Wow.
So we, whereas Chuck and Bill are up in the nosebleed section, they literally have to wear.
You want to keep them socially distant.
Yeah. So yeah, you're in first class then, and they're in coach.
They're where the pets are.
Surge.
Where they were trying to put Brixton under the plane, okay? But the way they have it bracketed off, they have it in color codes where if you're on the floor, cameramen, the players, the coaches, the team personnel.
The red zone.
Yeah, they're in the red zone. We're in the yellow zone. So only people, anybody, in the red zone, they actually do COVID test every game. Whereas every game when you come in there, everybody. In the yellow zone, they're taking your temperature, So, it's a little scary, because, we've been off since March, and I've kind of been like Howard Hughes, just hiding at home. I get my groceries delivered. I don't go nowhere, man.
Are you in a robe?
Yeah, I'm in the robe with a pipe. My Bing Crosby look, baby. I'm telling you, I didn't go get a haircut, but I was out there looking like, Michael Jackson in the 70s with the afro. So
off the wall?
Off the wall, baby. I just I'm just like anybody else, you're nervous because you don't know what to expect. We're not traveling this year. We're doing the games from Channel 5. That'll be different, because we're so used to traveling. And, and you don't know what to expect there, And I've watched ESPN. I saw the Maui Classic, and I saw my man Jason Benetti, and he'll do some games with the Bulls this year. I thought he was in the Maui class. I thought he was in Hawaii.
No.
I go, man, that's
really nice.
He was
in his basement.
Yeah.
And he sounded like they were at the game. Every one of those guys sounded like they were actually at the game. And
they call that TV magic.
And I go, why can't we do that? Like, I can be in my house with a pair of shorts on.
In your robe.
In a robe.
Brixton's on your lap.
Yeah, Brixton's in my lap. I can sit there and just
a Cavassier.
A Stella Artois, feel to the rim. And then, just relaxing. Get up and go to the bathroom. Do whatever I need to do.
Right.
Go grab another brewski. Who knows what you do behind the scenes? But, now it's like, we don't know what to expect. And there's going to be a plexiglass there. And, our good friend Joe Groove, what I've heard, they're not going to bring the mayor in.
I've got an update on that.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Cue the music, Mark.
We have breaking news from John.
Live reporting on the scene. No, Joe Groove will be in the truck. He won't be next to the king, but he will be in the truck. Yep, his services are needed and required, and he will be working in the truck.
Well, that is great news, ladies and gentlemen. Dun, 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 dun. That was breaking news from John Walsh.
You know what? I'll tell you what, though. Benetti is amazing.
The
guy works the schedule like you wouldn't believe. He will call games from all over the world, different conferences, different sports. He doesn't care. He just suits up in his den. Gets the light kit going, gets it for the microphone.
Two games a day sometimes.
He is indefatigable.
Yep.
And the guy works. It's just crazy. When I see the schedule that he does, it is just amazing. And for people who don't really understand what goes into a broadcast, if you're doing a game, let's say he's doing Boise State against San Diego State or whatever, he's got to do a lot of studying. It's not like he knows all the rosters of these guys.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy the prep work that you have to do.
The college game is way more harder than the pro game. Like when I did college games, the one thing you have to know about college, it's not about, let's say Kawhi Leonard playing for San Diego State. You got to know who his high school coach was.
Yeah.
You got to know who his AAU coach was. You got to know what his mom likes for Christmas. You got to know all those little interesting stories.
You got to dig.
You got to dig, and you got to do your research on everybody, not just him, but everybody on from top to bottom. You got to know about the coach. You know where his stops were. You know where he had success at. You know who he coached at his previous stints. There's so much research.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be funny when they're doing the road games. They're going to put Stacy and Adam in the old Jerry Springer studio. So these guys are going to start yelling at each other like they're doing Springer.
Wait a minute. Da, 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 da. So supposedly, we're going to be in different rooms.
Uh-oh.
They're not going to be in the same studio. Like, I'll be in one room, he'll be in another, and we'll be communicating separately, which is tough.
It is tough.
See, and I think, you know, this year is going to be really tough for any broadcaster because it's not something we're used to doing. The people in the truck, you know, I mean, there's so many people that have to do so many different things now. And, you know, we're going to make it work. We're all pros. We're going to make it work. But it's going to feel really weird out there. And I'm really anxious to get out there and see how it's going to be on Friday. I'm glad to know Joe Grube's going to be part of it because Joe Grube, I've been working with Joe Grube for over 15 years. And he is just as important to us than security is. You know, there's been times where we're sitting at a game and a fan will come and grab my headset, Stacy, hey, Stacy, you know, they're trying to talk to me. I'm in the middle of a game. And Joe Grube is like a secret service. He'll jump in the middle of it. He's doing a game and literally he'll take a bullet.
Yeah, like James Brady did.
And so like for me and Neil, we don't ever want to put fans off. We don't ever want to be the jerk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when we're working,
he plays the heavy.
He plays the heel. He's the guy that doesn't care if you get mad at him. He's the guy that does that. He does so many different things besides just be, you know, a routine stage manager. We petitioned for years to get him to go on the road with us and travel with us and be our own personal stage manager because sometimes you're on the road, you get guys, stage managers will be falling asleep. You get a guy that will go up and get smoothies. And you're like, dude, I need those reeds. What happened to him?
Smoothie King?
Yeah, Smoothie King. I'm not saying no names, but you've done those, you know, and he gives you a smoothie that upsets your stomach. And you're like, you're in the bathroom for like, you know, 24 hours because you don't know what he put in there. Did he mix it with X-Flax? Like, what the hell? I'm dying here.
It's just trying to help you out.
Yeah, I mean, Stacy brings so much energy at every broadcast he does, but I think the crowd, especially at home, really picks you up and really kind of feeds into your enthusiasm for the game. And now, as you said, you're going to be socially separated from your play-by-play guy. I mean, you're going to have to create that own excitement within the broadcast just from watching a video feed.
Well, I've worked it out where I'm going to have some fan noise piped into my ears so I can get hyped. I don't think anybody knows that right now, but I'm doing it. I'm having it piped in my ears to make it sound like I'm doing a live game. The energy is never going to change. Like, there's no fans here in this little office, and I'm energized. You know, as long as I got my guys next to me, I'm happy. Adam Amin will be next to me, and we'll be able to get it done. Bulls are playing. You know, I'm excited about this season. I'm excited with the changes, front office, the coaching staff, the draft pick. I haven't been this excited since Derrick Rose was drafted. And I think this is the year they make the playoffs. And people have to temper, you know, their expectations, number one, okay? Remember, this is still one of the youngest teams in the league. It still is, okay? Number two, when they make the playoffs, look at it as being not as an underachievement, but as the first step to climbing that mountaintop to becoming relevant again. You're not going to hit a home run every single time you step up to the plate. Sometimes you got to take the single. And fans have to, you know, I know they're like, well, we're rebuilding again. Well, you know, the other alternative is to continue losing. So just temper it, be excited for this team, support them. And I know fans can't be there, but watch the games, watch them on TV, and you're going to see a different team, a completely different team. Because in my opinion, we've upgraded by a million coaching-wise. I'm just going to be honest.
And front office.
You know, I'm just going to be honest. We've upgraded coaching because, you know, last year, you know, Jim Boylan did about as good as he could do. You know, the offense was stagnant, you know, too much standing around, not taking advantage of certain people's skill set. Maybe he wasn't an offensive genius or offensive guru, whatever. But, you know, Billy Donovan's Billy Ball, as I call it, is going to be fun and exciting. It's going to be a lot of ball movement. Lowry is not going to have the year Lowry had last year. Lowry, the first 2 years, looked like a budding superstar. So, you know, I expect Lowry to trend back to where he was. I think Kobe's going to be exciting. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if you're sitting at home, you know, during this pandemic, it's going to be must-watch TV. Not only for them, but for me and Adam and Bean, baby. We're going to bring the hot sauce.
And you can catch all the preseason games on NBC Sports Chicago. So you want to check out Adam and Stacey as they get rolling on what promises to be a very exciting season. You know, guys, it would be great right about here. Sponsored. We need a sponsor break here before we
we
get into our rapid fire round. So we encourage all of you out there to listen and subscribe and rate and tell everybody how much you love Gimme the Hot Sauce and all those businesses out there that want to be associated
chomping
with a wonderful
bit.
Product. Hey, get on board because
get
this,
on
this,
board.
This train has left the station.
There's plenty of room right now, but soon there's not going to be a seat, baby, and you will have to wait.
All right, so we're going to go rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
A lot of things going on around the sports world. Anybody who watched that Bears game last Sunday is still suffering the pain. It was 30-20 Bears in the fourth quarter, and somehow they turned that certain victory into a defeat. What happened? I mean, it was just sad to watch.
Well, when you see the odds right after that, that it's a 99.4% odds of winning that game.
That's pretty good.
And they blew it, and they saw it. They said it was retribution from the prior game with Detroit. That's not the same game at all. That's not a whole fourth quarter. That's something that an eighth grade coach doing his first time at Pop Warner wouldn't make those mistakes with clock management, the choices in play calling. It was just truly horrendous.
But they took a timeout.
But Robinson's got to know the sideline. Robinson has to know where the first down and the sideline is. So you can't blame.
There's
a lot of discipline head to toe and lost six straight.
A lot of people were expecting that they might wake up on Monday morning and find out that general manager Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy had both been let go. But the Bears don't operate that way. They never make in-season changes to the coaching staff.
No, I mean, they're not going to let fans dictate what they do. And, you know, eventually they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to make a decision if it's what's best for the organization. And, you know, when you look at this team, you know, I mean, you look at Mark Trestman. You remember that, how awful that was.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you close your eyes – and you open up, you think he's coaching them. I mean, seriously, the offense looks like Trestman offense. And, you know, the defense is just worn out.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. They're worn out. They've got some injuries. They're nicked up. They've done everything that you could possibly do trying to keep the offense, you know, close to give them a chance to win. And they've had opportunities to win, but turnovers, you know, miscommunication, you know, it's hurt them. And then the shuffling of quarterbacks doesn't help either. You know, you don't have confidence in either one of the guys. And it's like, oh, Foles hurt, let's put Foles out there. Oh, Trubisky sucks, let's put Foles out there. Well, Foles sucks, let's put Trubisky out there. You know, it's just been a carousel of just craziness all year. So it's going to continue. I don't see them doing anything the rest of the year. I feel bad for the players because I know they want to win. Because being an athlete, ex-athlete myself, you don't go out there trying to lose. You're not going out there tanking. And it's not in their vocabulary. But hopefully they get some, you know, some of their younger players in there, see what they got, and see if we need to build on that, what they need to draft.
Well, they started 5-1. They now have a six-game losing streak, four games left to go. If they lose out and finish 5-11, it's cleaning house time, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to say it is. I mean, Pace hasn't had a really good track record, you know. And I'm not a big fan. I'm not one of those guys like hire or fire. I don't get into that. I just, you know, read the numbers, and I kind of base my decision on what I read and what I see. And, you know, when you don't have the quarterback position has been uncertain since you've been here. You had a chance to get Patrick Mahomes. You had a chance to get Deshaun Watson, and you passed on them for whatever reason. And they're superstars elsewhere. You know, you haven't been, what, how many times have you been to the playoffs? Like zero, like none?
Well, in recent
since Pace has been there
once.
And they got they lost to Phily.
Yeah,
they
once.
Lost to Philly on the field goal.
And I mean,
yeah,
that's
the
not
double
joint. No. Most general managers are fired way before then.
Well, the quarterback decision is going to haunt that forever. I mean, you see what Patrick Mahomes and Watson are doing. They're going to see the Texans this week at Soldier Field. So that's going to be a kind of an in your face moment. This is
another
the quarterback you could have had, and instead you took Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at Deshaun Watson, I mean, their team is not doing well either because you got, you know, you had a coach that was trading off all their assets. Mm-hmm. It's like well, you try to sabotage the team on your way out, you know. And Deshaun Watson basically is Superman. I mean, he's basically doing everything by himself. And you know he's going to want to put up numbers against the Bears because, look, you could have had this. Patrick Mahomes did it when he came here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you could have had. You know, the signals of what he had, four, whatever he did, you know. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, you know, they're going to have to reevaluate what they're going to do in the front office and what they're going to do with the coaching staff. I mean, you can't keep trotting these guys out and not having success and they keep their jobs.
This is tremendous analysis from a guy that's a 3- or 4-time fantasy champion.
First of all, let tremendous. Me stop you there. Okay? Well, you got the whole information wrong, okay?
It is tremendous, though,
no,
right?
Tremendous is correct, okay? But I'm 11-time fantasy football champion.
Who are you playing against?
11 in a row.
Is Brixie on a team?
It's a neighborhood dog.
Hey, Tyson, pull up the punches, okay? I'm 11 times.
Does your wife have a team?
I'm 11 times champion.
He steals our players.
No, we've had a league.
Stick fingers in the basement.
We've had a league for 20 years, okay? And it's a rotisserie.
Are you in this league, Tim?
No, he's not in the league.
He kicked me out.
Oh, because you never even weren't active.
He pinks slipping. No, you stole my players.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the league is not, it's not your typical fantasy league. It's a IDP league. It's the funnest league. So not only do you score offensive players, you get a quarterback. It's basically a whole team. You know. So you get all defense. You get 7 defensive players, and they score off of tackles, interceptions, pass deflects. It's a high scoring league. Okay, rotisserie league.
You're saying gimmick.
No, it's a high scoring. Nobody listen. When you play the league where you pick one defensive team. Everybody gets whoever picks the top 3 defense is always going to win. Everybody else gets crap. Nobody name a team defense that sucks in the NFL this year. Would be who on defense?
Jets.
The Jets.
Well, you can
get
put
the
Jets,
but you got a great offense, but you get the Jets defensively because that's where you fall. Nobody likes that.
Yeah.
But if you can control the defense and you can pick the players you want defensively, whether it be a linebacker, cornerback, or safety, whoever is involved in tackles. Okay, wow. I'm the greatest GM of all.
I think McCaskey should be calling you, maybe.
He should, because I'm going to tell you something.
Because you know your personnel.
Listen.
You got to know your personnel, King.
You do. KYP, know your personnel. But when you're taking this league, you got to know who you draft. I always draft rookies. Because, you know, like I drafted the linebacker from the Bears, Smith, when he was a rookie.
Roquan.
I drafted him. People were like, why are you drafting him? He's not going to play. What? What do you mean he's not going to play? Okay, I stashed him. And then he ended up playing. And he averaged he was averaging 7-8 tackles. And I was killing him. So Tim got the pink slip. He said I stole his place. Tim got the pink slip because he's inactive. Okay? So when you're inactive, you're going to get the pink slip. Okay? Because you're bringing the league down. There's not a competitive balance. You know what I'm saying?
So you're playing against inactive teams?
No, he was inactive. So when you're inactive, John, smartass, when you're inactive, you bring down the competitive balance of the league. So we can't have a slug playing that's not actually playing his roster. So he got the pink slip, and he was replaced within 5 minutes. Because there's a waiting list
with his
to
wife.
Get. There's a... Wow.
Wow. All right.
This went sideways
right,
real quick.
Mark, get us on
all
track. Rapid fire. Get us on.
This rapid fire has kind of got stuck in the mud.
Wow.
Hey, there's big broadcasting news. How about Len Casper leaving the Cubs television booth to do radio play-by-play for the White Sox? It's a pretty good move when you consider the White Sox now. Their championship window is wide open, wouldn't you say, Stace?
I definitely would say that. And from what I know from Lynn and talking to people about Lynn, he's a great guy, first of all.
He is.
I met him.
Yeah.
But the thing about Lynn, I think he really wanted to do radio, you know, because it's...
Yeah, Ernie Harwell was a zero.
Yeah, he
wanted
to do
exactly.
radio.
Yep.
And, you know, what better way? You don't have to leave the city. You're in Chicago. You're on an up-and-coming team. If you look at the White Sox broadcast team, they're lights out better than the Cubs team right now. I mean, you know, Jason Benetti... Steve Stone. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's from a broadcaster point of view, the White Sox got the winning deal on that one.
Yeah, I tell you what, the White Sox, everything is looking good for them. They pick up Lance Lynn in the trade.
Adam Eaton, they re-signed.
They gave up Dane Dunning, who showed some flashes during this past season. But Lance Lynn, if you look at the numbers of what he's done recently, and people remember him back when the Cardinals
were a workhorse.
Before he got knocked around a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when he went to the Twins, he went to Texas,
yeah.
He's put up some big numbers. And you add him, you bring Adam Eaton back, who was a little bit of a divisive force in the clubhouse, but he's a good leadoff hitter, high on base guy, good defensive player in right field. This team is poised to win, and they're not done yet. They're talking about maybe signing Liam Hendricks as a closer, maybe bringing in Michael Brantley to play split time in right field and be the DH. This is a team that's looking to win right away, and hey, the city of Chicago could use a team that's going to contend for a championship right now.
Well, and then you bring back Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, a lot of people question that move, you know, but anybody who's won championships and has been there and done that, has got the experience that he has, you know, you're concerned about his age. He's sharper than most people younger than him. And if you put people, bench coaches around him that can
relate to the millennials,
players,
yep.
This could be a great move.
Yeah.
All the people saying like, oh, yep. He's too old. The game has passed him by.
No way.
Listen, at the end of the day, he's won World Series.
And he's been involved.
Yes.
He's with the Diamondbacks, with the Angels.
And people
so
know
he's
who
been
he
in
is.
The,
yep. The players know who he is. It's not some guy you just picked off the street. So I think it's a great hire.
Yep.
I think if they put bench coaches around them that are younger, that can sponge information off him and learn, and then be able to relate to these younger players, I think the White Sox made a great move.
Rapid fire.
One bit of advice, though, maybe you should get a car service. Just saying.
Wow, Tyson. Wow. Pull up the punches, Mike Tyson. He just bit an earlobe, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, that leads us to our next category.
They got the red line. He can take the red line.
Which was boxing. You know, we saw the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight. What do you think about the news, Stacey, that Floyd Mayweather might want to get involved?
Don't care.
The great Logan Paul.
Oh. Logan.
Money's going to be out
Listen,
there. Money's on the table.
The money's out there. It's a grab bag type situation. Get the bag. But in my opinion, because I'm a boxing enthusiast, and I like boxing, I like MMA, I think it dilutes his legacy doing things like that. That's like saying, I'm gonna go join Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus and, you know, be the bearded lady. You know what I'm saying?
Is that a career goal of yours?
No. But it's like saying you're going from one thing where you're really great at,
right,
that people respect you at, and then now you're fighting a guy who lost to
Nate Robinson?
No. He lost to a YouTube guy that's a video game player. And he lost to him. So if you couldn't beat a novice, what makes you think you're going to beat Floyd Mayweather?
Right.
And even if it's an exhibition, you know, if you really want to, if Floyd really wants to box again, start boxing these young lions. Like, I just watched Errol Spence this weekend come back from a year layoff from after having a horrific car accident. You know, he fought Danny Garcia, who's another lion. You know, that welterweight division is stacked with superior fighters. And if Floyd really, really wants to box again, I'd like to see him go out there and try to win his title back. Go through some of these young lions.
And help boxing.
Well, but you know, the only thing you'll never see about that is the risk of taking a loss. You know, that's what he would honestly feel like there's a possibility, because he sparred with Errol Spence. And from what I read and heard, Errol Spence got the best of him in the sparring match. So him going in there trying to fight these young guys, there's a chance that he could take the nail. And does he want to lose that 50-0 or 49-0 that he has up there? I don't think so.
Yeah, having that perfect record, that really says something on your legacy. People talk about, you know, the great Rocky Marciano never losing a fight.
But Rocky wasn't fighting in circus-type environments either.
Right.
A lot
absolutely.
Of the great fighters don't.
Yeah.
You know, you ride off into the sunset. You let your resume speak for itself. You know, you didn't see Muhammad Ali doing that. You know, Muhammad Ali became an activist. You know, there's things that Floyd, in my opinion, can do, you know, that would be beneficial, you know, especially during this time with all the stuff that's going on in society, that he can make a bigger impact with the youth. You know, just boxing a YouTube guy for just to get the money is
selfish.
You know, it's just he's better than that. And I'm a big Floyd Mayweather fan.
And we're still pushing for the Kendall Gill, Jake Paul.
Oh,
right,
let me tell you something.
You signed up for that?
Hey, listen, no.
50-50?
I'm over here trying to promote it.
Yeah.
I've been the one who's trying to get the traction on it.
Yeah.
I've been calling out Jake Paul like, hey, you don't want to fight Nate with nothing. You want to fight this dude. He knows how to
you
fight.
You could call it.
I would definitely call it. I'd be like Snoop.
Yeah, we'll get Kendall on the show.
I'm going to tell you. I would like to see Kendall fight him or James Johnson fight him. Those would be the two guys I'd like to see in the boxing match. That'd be cool.
All right, well, let's get to the on the download segment, and we're gonna give you some of our favorite TV shows to watch. You know, in this current pandemic environment, everybody's got that favorite show, maybe a guilty pleasure that you're watching with your wife, and you're thinking, you know what, I may have turned my man card on this one. So we're gonna start with John because I know what you're thinking about.
Hustler.
What you're watching.
Who said that?
This is a show.
What does he watch in his basement?
I don't have to pay for this.
Yeah. What are you in the basement watching?
I've watched in your tub.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark.
What are you doing?
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for being there.
In your tub?
Thank you, Mark. I actually watch it from my
basketball.
I'm multitasking. I'm putting the green ones and the purple ones, and we're going head to head. No, The Undoing was an excellent. It's a murder mystery. Nicole Kidman. Hugh Grant, it's on HBO Max, Donald Sutherland, it's filmed in New York, beautiful shots of Central Park, excellent, just to take your mind off everything. But I just want to say, I want to jump in real quick, for those historians that may not know this name, Chuck Yeager passed away at 97, The Right Stuff, he was The Right Stuff pilot, broke the sound barrier, great book, unbelievable novel, great movie. If you haven't seen the movie, it's about a three-hour deal, so you can make that a little mini Caesar series in itself. So The Right Stuff would be my second watch.
John just hijacked the show.
You ain't lying. Forcing us to watch the show. Like, okay there, buddy.
All right, Tim, what have you been watching during this pandemic?
Well, I got really hooked into The Last Kingdom because it has to do with my heritage, but maybe it's just my heritage, but violence, nudity, and a lot of drinking. So I appreciated that. But most recently, The Queen's Gambit, which is kind of a chick flick, but it almost makes me want to play chess and maybe go to Britain and play a little more chess.
Now, Stacey, you're a connoisseur of television. What do you got for us?
My show is on Cinemax. It's called Warrior, and it's a Bruce Lee adaptation of the early settlement in San Francisco when they built the Chinese built the railroads and the Irish came over, and there's all this unrest between the Irish and the Chinese. So there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of karate, and it's something that Bruce Lee really wanted to do back in the 60s and 70s, but no one would sign off on it. So his daughter, Shannon Lee, is the executive producer of the show, and this show is based off of everything he wrote about. So it's a remarkable show. It's not all violence. It really basically comes down to, it shows you the difference of two different cultures. And during that time, how hard it was for Chinese to fit in and to be respected. I mean, they had to fight for everything mm-hmm. they got. When they had all the jobs, the Irish were mad because the Chinese had all the jobs because they were cheaper labor. And so they caused a lot of fighting and murder. And this show pretty much shows that. It's an awesome show.
If you like stand-up comedy like I do, check out The Comedy Store on Showtime. It's a five-part documentary series where they take you through the history of, this was a small comedy club in Los Angeles where it was a rite of passage for all the young comedians, going back to Richard Pryor and Freddie Prinze, and then David Letterman went through, Jerry Seinfeld. Even now today, talking to modern comedians like Bill Burr and Sebastian Maniscalco, all these comedians had to go through a rite of passage doing time at this underground cellar to prove that you had what it takes to be a big-time comedian. And some of the interviews they have with these comedians looking back on it are great. So I would highly recommend that if you're a fan of stand-up comedy.
King always wants to do some stand-up.
See, I was getting ready to say, John was there and didn't make it. They booted him off the stage.
With a hook?
And so now, so now he's doing comedy on Give Me the Hot Sauce. And it's not faring any better. He's about to get the hook again.
Showtime at the Apollo, right?
Oh, Sandman. Yes, pull him off the stage.
All right, before we get out of here, you know, we started the show with talking about the unfortunate story about poor Brixen. Now we're going to get Stacy's pet tip of the day. What do you got for us, Stacy?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is about feeding your pet, okay? Everyone is comfortable feeding your pet, your dog, kibble. I'm on the raw diet. Brixen's on the raw diet food. So he's that's consistent.
Do you just pull animals out of the woods and give them?
Hey, listen, first of all, buddy, you know, the dog, let's do a little history here. The dog comes from the wolf, okay?
Exactly.
All right? So the wolf in the wild, there is no veterinarian. There is no anyone taking care of the wolf. The wolf can live to be 22 years old, and all they're eating is wild, you know, rabbits, whatever they can get their hands on.
Right.
They're eating, you know, what if they kill a rabbit, then the rabbit has, like, you know, greens in his stomach. So they're getting all those vitamins. So the raw diet is called the BARF, B-A-R-F diet. And I've been doing a lot of research on it. It sounds gross, but if you look at the food, you can see why they came up with the name, okay? Because it's actually, like, it's beef, it's bone ground up, it's carrots, it has vegetables in it, has the right amount of vegetables, the right amount of fruit, and it's all blended in together. And Brixen loves it. If you gave Brixen some kibble right now, he'd take his paw and he'd slap the dish.
Get that out of my face.
Get it out of here. Yeah. And give him the Matumbo finger. Don't feed me that crap.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Because the reason we talk about the kibble is, you know, there's so much dog food now. You know, I mean, that's a big market, you know, and there's so many, you know, really bad dog food out where you're not getting what you're paying for. You're getting, you know, let's say out of 100%, you're getting 60% good stuff and then the 40% fillers. So with the raw diet, you know exactly what your dog is getting every time. You know exactly what's going into the food and how much the ratio is. I mean, there's a science to it. You don't just take meat and just pile on and say, go eat it. You actually got to weigh stuff. You got to make sure that he's getting the right nutrients in his body. And he loves it. As you can see, he hasn't missed too many meals. He's 3 months. He's an American bully. And he's the cutest little thing. He's a ladies' man. All the ladies love him. He just came from the vet. They wanted to kidnap him. See, he hears me talking about him, and he wants to come over here. But he's a great dog. I'm a dog lover. I've been raised with dogs. And it's awesome through this pandemic. That was, I came to the conclusion, Mark, that I was so bored. You know, there was nothing to do. We hadn't even done the podcast yet. I was sitting at home just being so bored. I said, you know what would be the coolest thing? Get a puppy now. I could actually train him, you know, to be my little buddy there. You know, because you can only play so much Xbox. You only read so many books, watch so much TV. And he has been a boost in the household, having him there. It's just so much fun having him.
So for all our loyal listeners out there, make sure to keep a good thought up for Brixen as he heads to a little bit of surgery coming up. So
Yes. And follow IG. You know, he just asked me to get his own Instagram account. I turned him down. He's too young. When he turns about 8 months, I'll let him have his own IG account. But you do occasionally see him on Instagram because I'll post pictures of him and so people can see him. He's a cute little dog. Chocolate and white. With a shiny coat. Look at his coat. Look how pretty his coat is.
And John, we got a new website where people can follow.
Oh, yeah.
Stacy21king.com. We'll probably post some photos.
Say that again with authority, John.
Yeah. Stacy21king.com. Yes. And I just want to say that Tim is on a liquid diet these days, if you're wondering.
what does a liquid diet consist of?
Oh, yeah. It's good for washing things
down.
When
you have a keg of beer in the office, that's never good.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to give you some work advice. It's never a good idea. It might boost employees' morale, but productivity is going to suck.
Oh, my God.
I may have a problem.
It's like Willy Wonka. It's like Willy Wonka the chocolate factory. There's so much gadgets and toys here. I mean, we see, like, kegs
pool
all over
table.
The place. Pool table. I'm like, wow, can we lick the walls, too? Like, wow, Willy.
That's right.
Well, we hope you've had a lot of fun as we've moved into a new chapter of the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. Again, we want to thank Aldo Gandia for his loyal work with the Bears Barroom. And now we're moving into a new chapter. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you listen
Little
and
Patty
subscribe
LaBelle.
And rate the podcast.
Who said that?
John's wife, Susan, for all
Who
the hard work
that,
she's done getting us on Spotify.
That would be Patty
Spotify.
LaBelle.
Let her sing it. Oh. Wow. I got him, fans. I got him.
He's turned into a punching, a human punching bag.
I think Michael McDonald as well, right? Patty LaBelle and Michael McDonald.
Well, whoever is, let them sing.
Okay.
Because you sure in hell can't sing.
But you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. We're still working on Apple, but we're going to be up there as well. So all the places you go to for your favorite podcast, make sure to check it out. We're getting bigger and better as we move forward. So, Stacy, time to say goodnight.
Drive home safely, Chicago. Beep, beep.